All right, I'm going to open up with a word of prayer, and then we will go from there. So, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity that you give me to give out your word, Lord, and just want to thank you for everybody that's here tonight. Want to pray for everybody that was on our prayer list, and also for those who can't be here as well, Lord. Just ask that as I bring forth your word, that it be what you want me to preach and teach, and that I not get in your way, and that it be what you want preach and teach, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so the first set of scriptures we're going to look at is Ephesians 3. So if you'll turn to Ephesians 3, and we'll get there in just a second. A little bit of an intro. You preach on a Sunday morning, and you know you're going to be, you would think that's going to be salvation heavy, right? You're going to preach a lot of salvation verses. We might have visitors. You should always include salvation in your message, but that's just kind of what you're geared towards. If you're teaching a Sunday school back there with the kids or here, you know that you're going to kind of get in there and you're going to talk about some different things. So then when preparing for Wednesday night, I was like, well, I guess I'll treat it like a Sunday school, right? Like we'll kind of either go through a book, something like that. And I was going through Ephesians. And then I was thinking, I'm only preaching one Wednesday. I can't go through all of Ephesians in one day. And I was thinking, maybe I'll hit some key verses. And as this went on, and you start studying things out, you end up down all these rabbit holes, and you learn more than you thought was there. And you're like, okay, wait, where's this going? Let me get back on track, right? Well, I landed in Ephesians 3. So I'll go ahead and get there. And what I'd like to do is potentially, in the future, do a study on Ephesians through the whole book with everybody. But I landed here, and it kind of opened up some thoughts and in my mind to some things that the Holy Spirit was leading. But it's Ephesians 3:14. So hopefully y'all are there. If not, just listen along. But for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. So why I landed here is it's a Wednesday night service. It's about prayer, right? And here I am reading through, and I see Paul very specifically praying for some things. Okay? And we're going to get into this verse a little more later and where that led. But I want to talk about prayer for a little bit. So first off, I want to clarify what we do here, where we gather and we spend probably the first 20, 25 minutes taking prayer requests, and really that gets us to know each other, the church people, what's on people's hearts, and then we all come together and pray for those things, or praise God. It's a very biblical thing that I would hope all churches do. The unfortunate truth of that is most churches don't, and we ourselves, our prayer life is lacking. Okay. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I will just raise my hand and say my prayer life is lacking. Okay. So what I wanted to do is take a moment to look at prayer, but specifically some things that Paul prayed. Because we're in the church age, and whenever you hear these things about prayer, you hear, you know, we heard last Sunday about if you had the faith of a mustard seed, the things that you could accomplish, right, and how people take that out of context. And unfortunately, we cherry pick these verses about prayer because they fit our unique situation. And really, in context, that's not what they mean, right? So I want to look at specifically someone that we can model ourselves after is Paul. So let's see, the first thing, I have a couple key points because you have just something that was asked to me just by a coworker, not a saved coworker, they just asked, they said, if I were to pray, I wouldn't even know where to start. So where would I start? How do I even do that? How do you go about prayer? Okay. One of the first times I came to a Wednesday night service here, it was, okay, we're going to split up into groups and pray. And I was thinking, okay, I'm just going to bow my head and pray in my seat, right? Well, no. People came to me and was like, hey, let's pray together. I was like, you mean I have to pray with someone else that's not just about food? Like somebody else is going to hear me? Right? And that was like this weird thing, like, well, what do I even do? What do I say? And then, of course, you realize it's just praying. It's you talking to the Lord. So maybe this, if that's how you feel, maybe you don't know how to pray. Maybe you're a new Christian. You're like, how does that even start? It's a relationship that builds with you and God. It's a conversation, right? You pray, God hears you, and then he speaks to you through this. Okay? So those two things go together. But put together a couple key points, maybe some things that we could learn to help with our prayer life, whether it be to get started or to improve on our prayer life. And like I said, we'll be using the example of Paul. So we're still in Ephesians. If you'll go to Ephesians 1:16. So the first note I have here is when you pray, pray with a thankful heart. So Ephesians 1:16 says this. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul opens up with, I'm giving thanks for you. Okay? I don't think we do that enough. I don't think we give enough thanks. We like to pray when things are going bad. And you hear that from a pulpit all the time. I heard it. I was like, I know, yeah, we pray when things are bad. We need to pray more when things are good. And you just blow it off until you actually start to realize, because now you're going through the bad thing that you're going through, and you're in the valley of your life, and suddenly your prayer life gets really good, right? And you don't think anything about it. Lord pulls you out of that, and when you step back, you're like, man, I was doing really good back there with my prayer life. Now I'm not doing so good. What's the difference there? It's human nature, right? So we need to try to level that out a little bit. But be thankful when you pray. Something that was interesting tonight is we had almost as many praises as we did prayer requests. That's a blessing. I don't know if I've seen that in the past, but that means God's working in our lives. That also means that we don't mind speaking up, because sometimes we like to clam up and not talk about it, right? Even though God did this great thing, that's just how we are. But we should praise the Lord. We should have a thankful heart for what he's given us, even through the bad things, right? The difficult times. But Philippians 1, if you'll go with me, Philippians 1. Last time I was teaching Sunday school, I mentioned I had a new Bible, thankfully, given me by Brandon. But it was like a new sword. I was trying to learn how to use it. Got a little better with it, but I'm still a little slow. So I don't have my tabs. I can't cheat anymore. I just got to remember where stuff is. But Philippians 1, verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always, in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Okay, so Paul here is giving thanks to God, yes, but he's also thankful for the people that he's been around to grow in Christ. And it says there in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests for joy. And then in verse 5 it says, for the fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. Do we ever stop and think about how lucky we are to have a church where we can come, hear the word of God preached, and leave with something, and not just hear about how good we are and then go back out no different than when you came in? Last Sunday we had a missionary come in, and He was giving some messages that got you right to the heart, made you do some self-checking, didn't feel good in the moment, but you're like, wow, I need to do better, give you some things to improve on, right? And I appreciated that preaching. And so after the service, the night service, I said, hey, brother, I want to tell you how much I appreciated that message. And I was like, And I hope you know what I mean by that, because it gets you. You know, we don't necessarily like to hear it in the moment, but, you know, I'm guilty of that. So, but that's a blessing. But also, church family, you have a burden. You have people you can go to. You have people you can talk to. People who you know will pray for you, right? And then the moment something goes wrong, I know I can call up the pastor and say, "Pastor, can you put this on the prayer list?" And I know people will be praying. So that's what Paul is talking about here. So he's thankful, right? So we should pray with a thankful heart. Not always easy. Okay, because it sounds easy now until you're going through something really rough. You're like, how can I be thankful for that? Right? You know, it could be a death in the family. It could be a medical surgery. It could be something major that's going on and you don't understand why. Why the Lord allowed this to happen, right? But sometimes we don't get to see the Lord moving in the background. You know, there was, you know, terrible, terrible shooting that happened with Charlie Kirk, right? And, you know, nothing can excuse that, and it's a sad thing. You wonder why this happens. But what I can tell you, and I don't know why certain things happen and why they don't, but what I can tell you is never in mainstream media have I heard the word or the Lord's name, Jesus Christ, used so much in my lifetime. And I've heard mainstream news, all kinds of, you know, social media feeds, everything, people giving testimonies. I'm like, never heard this in 34 years. I've never heard anything like this, right? So you never know how the Lord's going to use something. So just because we may not understand it doesn't mean that there's not a reason for it. Okay, so praying with a thankful heart. So number two. So hopefully you'll have number one. Number two, I'm not fancy like a teacher. I couldn't condense everything into a 3-point message, make everything start with the same letter. Maybe one day I'll get there. I'm not there yet. So number two, to be used by God, and I put /opportunities, asking for opportunities. So just one verse we're going to turn to here, but it's 1 Thessalonians 3. So 1 Thessalonians 3. And we're going to read here in verse 9 through 10. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So what Paul's praying here is, first off, he's thankful for the person that he's writing this to, right? Or the church. But he also puts that he's praying that the Lord will give them opportunity to meet face to face. But then he says, why? To perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Right. So I don't want to pick on anybody. So I always pick on Matthew because we're family. So he can't, you know, go anywhere without me. I'm his driver today. So, you know, what if I was like, Matthew, I can't wait to see you because you've been messing up. Right? That's not exactly what he's saying here, but what he's saying here is that getting together in the Lord, perfecting each other, you also the verse, iron sharpeneth iron, right? Paul is praying for the opportunity to help somebody in the Lord where he knows he's needed. Okay, so it's like, oh yeah, of course, we would do that too, right? But my question to you there would be, do we pray for opportunities? Okay, so my whole point of this today is some things that we can take home and use and not just listen to it here, but what can improve our prayer life. Do we pray for opportunities? I would like to say yes, and sometimes I do. But I don't all the time, right? Because you know what I like to do? I like to just do my own thing. I like to be me, and when somebody knocks on my door at the house, I like to pretend I'm not home, even though my car is in the driveway. Everybody knows I'm home. You're not fooling anybody, right? Especially, I travel a lot, right? So, you have neighbors that go by. I have a car that is, you know, one day I'll fix it up, sitting in my driveway, right? But you know it hasn't gone anywhere. It's looking rough. Then, you drive by my house and you see a Civic there that hasn't been there for a week. And you're like, I bet somebody's home. You knock on my door and I don't answer. Lights are off. Turn the TV down. because, you know, that's going to help. Like, they didn't hear it already, right? The moment they knocked, if you turn the TV down, you're good. But that's what we do. We hide from people, and we don't mean to. Or if we're in the grocery store, we're talking to somebody, you know, great. But then the moment you see somebody that you haven't seen in a few years, you're like, one of two things. Oh, it's been so long since I've seen you. Great. Or you go, oh, I can't see me, right? And so you go back down the aisle, buy something you don't even need just to avoid the person, right? It's just what we do. It's how we are. But the thing is, the Lord will give you opportunities, but do you pray for them? Okay? But that directly shows your heart with God. Would you allow Him to use you if that opportunity came? Because we can pray for the opportunity. The opportunity comes and you say, well, Lord, that wasn't exactly the opportunity I was praying for. I would talk to somebody, but not that person. I won't use any names. But sometimes there, you know, I was getting home. I had to change a headlight. So I'm under the hood of my car, and I hear my name, and I know the voice of this person. And I was like, oh, man, I don't have time to deal with this, right? But it's an opportunity to witness to this individual. Okay, and so I can thankfully say I took the opportunity to talk to the person, but it would have been really easy not to. Okay, we do that often. The Lord will give you opportunities. If you pray for it, He'll give them to you. So the next question is, will you take the opportunity? So that was number two. Do you pray for opportunities and to be used by God? Okay, so number three. Pray in the right spirit. Okay, so praying in the right spirit. And that doesn't mean any kind of mysticism or mystical stuff here, right? It's just what does your heart say about you when you're praying? All right. So the verse I want to go to first is 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Let me just say, this doesn't work with just prayer. You can do all kinds of stuff in the wrong spirit, right? You can help somebody and have a bad spirit about it, and you might have done more harm than good, right? So when you pray, you want to pray in the right spirit. So 1 John 5, and we're going to go to verse 13. So it says, these things have I written unto you, that believeth on the name of the Son of God. First off, let me also just say, I know this isn't Paul, right? I know I said we'd focus on Paul, but I did want to go to these for knowing you have to pray in the right spirit. There's a couple things I want to go into with this. Sorry, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have a petition that we desire of Him. Okay. I want to focus on something there. It says in verse 14, it says, and the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. Okay. I say that because people will go to a verse like Matthew 7. So if you want to turn there, you can. If not, I'll read it. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So what you'll have is you'll have people read those two verses and say, you can ask whatever you want, and God's going to give it to you. Right? So I'm gonna ask for a boat. I like fishing. I just got a new fishing pole, even though it's only this big. So a boat probably wouldn't be the right thing to take that on. But, Lord, I'm going to pray for a boat. Or I'm going to pray that I win the lottery. Right? what am I doing? I'm feeding the flesh, right? So that's why that verse in 1 John says, in the Lord's will. Okay? I do want to pair this up with James 4. So James chapter 4, verse 3. And it says this, "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Right? So that explains what's going on here with prayer. When you pray in the right spirit, you're praying the will of God, right? Like what He has in your life. And maybe you don't know what that is. And so you're coming to pray, you're asking for these things. You're, like we were here today, I may not know the situation that you went through, but you overcame it, right? So I'm praying, Lord, I want to give a praise for that, but also pray, help you in those situations, right? I may not know what those are, the Holy Spirit's going to, but that's within the will of what the Lord wants us to do, right? Me asking to win the lottery just so I can have a boat, That's not what the Lord wants, right? That's not what it's talking about here. So when you're praying for lustful things, it's not going to get answered. Okay, you're not praying in the right spirit. And you're like, I don't know about that, Jonathan. I don't know, right? You don't have to turn there, but in Luke 22:42, that's where Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And he's praying to the Lord and saying, you know, let this cup pass me by. He doesn't want what's going to happen to him to happen. And he says, nevertheless, not my will but thine, right? And then hopefully I'm quoting that right. I could be slightly off. But he's praying that, nevertheless, not my will but the Lord's will. Okay? So you need to pray in the right spirit. And Jesus understood that. Paul understood that. Hopefully y'all understand that. And so when we go and we pray, we're not just praying for random stuff. That we understand it's for the edifying glory of God, okay? And you may think I'm crazy, but there are those people. The name it and claim it preachers and all that kind of stuff. Number four, be specific. So sometimes you can't if you don't know the situation, but if you can, be specific. So when you pray, it's a conversation. Okay, like I said before, this is you going to God and talking to Him, and then He's going to respond to you through His Word, things like that, right? So imagine having a conversation with somebody, and Brother John, you know, this week it was good. I did a thing, drove to some places, had some food, and went back and did that. You'd have no idea what I was talking about. Right? And then what if you respond, oh, that's great. Yeah, I did a couple things and headed over there and walked over here and took care of that. I'm like, oh, yeah, great. And we just parted ways. We learned nothing about each other. Except we did a couple things. Walked a couple places. Oh, and that's right. I ate something. I didn't, you know, Brother John didn't tell me he ate nothing. So, But that's what it is. It's not a conversation. That's just two people talking because they feel like they have to at that point. That's what that is. All right. So be specific. So Colossians 1. So Colossians 1, I'm going to read here. 9 through 11. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and do desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Making sure. Fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with the might according to his glory, glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, there's a whole thing that goes with this, right? But I'm going to these areas where Paul is talking about praying, and he's talking about very specific things. And he's praying for these specific things for these individuals. Okay, so I have here be specific, but you could do a sub-point if you wanted to and say pray for others, not just self. Okay, but it's the specific needs. Now, how do I know the specific needs of someone else? I've talked to them, right? So this whole thing that Paul's going through, he's writing letters to these churches, people he knows, and they know him. They've written back and forth. They've had prayer requests. So Joel, that was here, we know his brother was in an accident, right? So when I saw him the next week, I mentioned to him, Joel, how's your brother doing? And so we had a whole conversation about Joel's brother. I'll be honest, I've never met Joel's brother and didn't know he had another brother until then. And then I felt bad. So I'm like, this is, you know, I've known Joel for 14, 15 years. And I knew he had brothers, but this one brother I didn't know about. Makes you feel pretty lousy as a friend and as a church member that I should have known more about Joel, right? But it's a conversation you have with somebody, you get to know that person, and then you know their needs, physical or spiritual. It's all about building up a relationship and building the body of Christ. And that's what Paul was trying to do. He's building up the body of Christ for the edifying of the Lord. Okay? So like I said, I know I'm taking some of these verses out of context, but I'm doing them in the context of Paul is praying these specific things. So if you would, if you'll go back with me to Ephesians. Ephesians 3. So this is what led this whole thing. I'm going to come back here a few times. So Ephesians 3. We can see the specific things that he's praying here as well. So starting in verse 14, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stop there. How many times do we say this? Joe, I'm praying for you. Right? Or whoever it is you're talking about. You say, I'm praying for you. But you never are specific really with what you're praying about to that person. Okay, it's just kind of this catchphrase of like, oh, I'll be praying for you. Right? I actually had a church member I was talking to, and I said, yeah, if you could pray about this. And right there, they said, let's pray about it now. But okay. And we stopped in the middle of public, and we just started praying. Right? I was like, that was awkward for me, but great. Because I was like, that's also a testimony for others to see. I was like, I probably need to be more like that. Right? Eye-opening. But Paul is letting them know, like, these are the things I prayed for you for. Okay? He said, of whom the whole family, is verse 15, in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. So I don't think we can fathom the breadth and length and height of the love of Christ. But we know that now, right? So we know that we can't fathom it. It's that much. Okay. Which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So he's specific in what he's praying there. Okay, now what I would like to do real quick is think about Paul. And that's why I want to go over Paul here. Is because when you pray, you're going to have people that say, does that actually work? Does prayer actually do anything? Maybe you've been praying for somebody for 10, 15, 20 years, and you've not seen that answer. And you're like, does the Lord even hear me? Okay, it's hard things to think about. These things happen, okay? I will say this, the Lord hears your prayers. No prayer goes unanswered. It's just either yes, no, or wait. Right? We just hate the wait. That's what we hate. Or the answer is no, and we also don't like that. We really only like the yeses, right? The things that we want. But the Lord answers the prayers. He hears them. But sometimes things are moving behind the scenes that we don't see, we're not aware of. Okay? So maybe it's not the fact that you're not praying good enough or something like that. It could be that person's not ready. Right? If you've been praying for someone's salvation and they haven't been saved, you can't make someone get saved. They have to be ready. Their hearts have to be ready. Okay? You can't make something happen. That person has to be willing, and the Holy Spirit can move that along. But that's why God's not a dictator. There's free will. Okay? So don't get discouraged with that. But what I'm saying here is putting yourself in Paul's situation, and people say, well, Paul is always praying. Does this actually work? Him doing these prayers, does it actually affect anything? Paul would have been a scholar of the Old Testament, correct? Yeah. So he would have known some of these Old Testament verses. And so a lot of people will say, well, we're a New Testament church. We don't really deal with the Old Testament. You can't throw the Old Testament out. There's things to learn there, right? But what I do know is in the mindset of Paul, he could be thinking about a few things, right? So does prayer actually affect anything? You can turn with me if you'd like. Exodus 32. Exodus 32, and I'll start here in verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. This is God talking to Moses, because Israel had been sinning against him. And Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of the evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. That would be Jacob, his name changed. Thy servant to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all the land that I have spoken of will I give unto you, unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto his people, and Moses turned and went down from the mountain. And I'll stop there. So Moses prayed and interceded for the people of Israel that God was going to wipe out. Moses' prayer mattered, right? Moses was praying for other people, and the Lord heard it. Okay, so now turn with me, if you would, Jonah. Jonah 2. So it says this, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For time's sake, I won't read necessarily all that, but Jonah goes into what he's experiencing as he's praying to the Lord to deliver him from what he's going through in the whale's belly, or the fish's belly. And in verse 10 it says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So Jonah was praying for himself, and the Lord used a fish to spit him out. Okay. So my thing with that is, we've looked at two people, and there's plenty of examples. Those are just the two that I went to. There's plenty of examples. Moses prayed for other people, the Lord heard his voice. Jonah was praying something for himself, and the Lord heard his prayer. Right? One reason why I wanted to go to Jonah is because Jonah was not someone that was walking with the Lord, but the Lord still heard his prayer because he was turning around to then try to follow the Lord. So you'll have Christians that will say, well, the Lord won't hear my prayer because I'm not living with for him. Right? I need to get right first. Well, how are you going to get right? You probably need to start somewhere. Praying's probably a good place to start. Right? And he's going to hear that prayer. Okay, so that was number four, be specific. So number five, this is my last point. Pray with purpose or conviction. Pray with purpose. And see, that one has a nice ring. See, it's got pray with purpose, two P's. I wish I could have done it with all of them. But, so what do I mean by that? Pray with purpose. So if you'll go back to me in this verse here in Ephesians, which is what kind of kicked all this off. And I'm not going to read through all that again, because we've already read it and you understand what he's praying for. But I just want to focus on verse 14. The first little bit there says, for this cause. So we read through this. We know that Paul is praying very specific things. He's praying that for this people, that they're going to understand who God is and what he can do in their life. But it starts with, for this cause. Well, what cause? So my mind is geared towards this way. I like to work backwards, right? That's probably the nature of the work I do. There's a problem. Unfortunately, the work that I do, the problem happens before you can fix it, right? So when the problem happens, you're like, okay, root cause analysis. This thing was faulty or went wrong. What happened? And you follow it back. Okay, now this went wrong. Well, why did that go wrong? And you keep following back. That's sometimes what happens to me in the Bible. I'll read for this cause, and I'll read all the way back, and I'll get something else that says something similar, and you read all the way back. And so I got the whole story just backwards. So then I got to read it all the way through now that I understand it. So I got to read it twice. Maybe the Lord knows I just need it twice. I don't know. But for what cause was Paul praying? So we can look here in verse 1 through 13. It'll actually give us what the prayer is about. And this is for another time, another rabbit hole to chase, because verse 1 starts with, for this cause, which means you have to go back further, right? For another time, like I said, maybe one day we can do a whole study on this. But it says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is that fellowship of the mysteries which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, whom created all things by Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities of the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not as my tribulations for you, which is your glory, for this cause. And he gives the prayer. So his cause is because the Lord made him basically the preachers to the Gentiles. And he was going to be giving this revelation that Jew and Gentile are going to come together through Christ for the body of Christ, for the edifying of the Lord, right? Very different than what the Old Testament was, to where the Lord dealt with the Jewish people, and if you want to know the one true God, you had to go through the Jewish people, right? You still have to go through a Jewish person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But it's very different than what it was. So that is what was laid on his heart. He was given a mission by the Lord, and so for this cause, he was praying this. And what you'll see in the book of Ephesians is Paul keeps going and talking about these different groups of people and getting them right and getting their hearts right and their mind right and spiritually right before the end of Ephesians, where they talk about, you know, how a husband should treat his wife, how the wife should treat the husband, and how the kids should act. Physical things. Paul took the rest of that book to get everybody right spiritually first. Because if you're right spiritually, inwardly, you're going to be right outwardly. Okay. Chapter 4 starts with this. It says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, which we see as Paul back in chapter 3, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Okay, and it's going to go down and it's going to talk with meekness and lowliness and it's going to talk about how you should carry out this vocation that ye are called. What's that vocation, right? For time's sake, just skip to verse 11. It said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, the Lord's given us a job just like he gave Paul. Right? And it's for the perfecting of the saints. Right? And it gives you what the Lord could have called you to be. Okay? Just like Paul, we should start with prayer. We should pray for others. Pray for what the Lord wants us to do. Pray with a joyful heart. Pray for others. And let's see, you got all my points here. Got them all written down. A thankful heart. To be used of God. We saw Paul being used by God. Pray in the right spirit. Be specific when you pray. The Lord's given you something. Be specific in knowing what you need and going through that and how to handle it. And then pray with purpose. If the Lord has laid something on your heart, do it. Go 100%. Okay? But just like Paul, will we pray before we do what the Lord asks us to do? It's probably a good start. And then also knowing that vocation that he's given you, teachers and preachers and apostles and all that, that doesn't not apply to you. That's the job that he gave us, and will we do it? So that's what I have for y'all. I'm going to pray real quick and end the service, unless anybody has anything for me. No? All right. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be up here. Just want to thank you for everybody that was here and listening, and allow me to pick on a few people and use examples and just appreciate that. I want to appreciate the good spirit everybody has tonight. And just ask that we go home and you keep us safe and that you bring us back here safely at your next appointed time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.